Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So, whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Again, that is bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find more, but that is bwhustle.com/join.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to a Thursday night edition of The Full Ride on the Chase Thomas podcast. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined, as I am every single week, by my good friend down there in Decatur, Georgia, Matt Green. Matt, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm glad to be back. How are you doing this lovely evening?
I'm good. What, did you have good weather today in Atlanta?
Yeah, weather's solid. It's hot when the sun's up and gets cold when the sun goes down, basically.
Yeah,
this was great in the middle of the afternoon, though.
For sure, but it does drive me batshit crazy because we have to change the air in the house because it gets cold. Like, I woke up frozen a couple days ago, Matt. Like, frozen. I was like, why am I shivering and seeing my breath in my room right now?
I stay frozen, man. I feel like I just keep it in the 60s or so just the whole winter. Like, we hardly used any heat. Like, we're just in long sleeves like the whole winter.
Okay, well then you would love my house because
I feel like when I'm sleeping I gotta be cold. I can still
for sure, yes,
sweating. I have to be like fan on, like middle of winter always.
Are you a TV on in the background person or do you like complete
got
silence?
Got to. It's got to be something that like I know though.
Yes,
because if it's too interesting, like I'm trying to look at the TV and like, you know, see what's happening. So I've like Bob's Burgers mm-hmm. and like Parks and Rec. Those are like my go-to like falling asleep TV. Like if I have like Children's Hospital on, it's like there's too much crazy shit happening. I need to see what they're talking about.
I tried it with stand-up specials and that didn't work. Like some that I'd seen a lot and I was just like, maybe this will work. But no, the go-to that I do every night, and the girlfriend and I like thankfully are on the same page here, where Arrested Development is just the go-to because I've seen it at least a billion times.
That's
like,
classic.
Yeah, like it puts me to sleep now within like 10 minutes. I'm out. Like you put Arrested Development on and it's just gonna...
That's a show I need to watch again, for sure.
It's great. It's great. Bob's Burgers is a sneaky good pick too because it's just... it's good and it's light. And the one that I did this summer was Impractical Jokers. And that show, like, I hate. Like, we were talking before we got started, like, hate watching. Like, I hate that show with a passion. Like, it's a dumb show. It's
do
like
you
one of the,
hate it or yes. do you hate or you want to hate it?
No. I hate it. So it's not
fun. I want to hate it. Like, I want to be like, that show is terrible. But then if that show is on for, like, 5 minutes,
you'll watch
funny.
The whole episode.
You will. Like, it's funny because those guys are, like...
Hold on.
They kind of... tour or something where they're doing like stand-up or like on stage. It's like, no, stay in your lane, guys. Like, it's not what the people want.
Like them touring and stuff. Who's going to watch them do the Broadway type stuff that they do? Like, I don't understand that at all. Like, who's going
I don't know who's going to see these guys on tour. Like, no disrespect to their hustle, but I just I don't know. That doesn't seem like that's not why we're watching.
Well, let me pose this question to you, Matt Green. Have you ever found yourself audibly laugh while watching that show?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, maybe you're probably cringing more than you're laughing sometimes. Like, oh, it's brutal. Some of the punishments, like, oh, I don't know what it was. It was like a poetry reading or something. And the dude's phone just kept going off. And he just had to like sit there. And this whole crowd, it's like, I was in pain. Like sitting there with this guy. Like it was. Knock my mic off. Yeah, but it was brutal.
Have you ever written poetry to a girl, Matt?
I can't say that I have.
No? No poems.
That's not my style.
What is your style, Matt?
I knew you were gonna ask that. You know, it's a lifetime ago, you know, who knows? I can't even remember the single life.
You're such a liar. You're such a liar.
I mean, I don't know. My style is...
You're turning red. I can't see you right now, and I know you're turning red about this. This is great.
I am, man. I for sure. But you kind of got to be a dick to start with, you know, push the buttons, and then be nice. Then show them that you're like, oh, I'm actually not a dick. I'm actually a nice person, you know, but... You gotta be a dick to get their attention to start with, you know? I'm not sure you know exactly when to turn the dick thing off.
Wow.
I got a jab in there. I'm sorry.
Wow, Matt.
No,
tell
you
the listeners
you know
how you
thing.
Really
You know
feel.
That's your shtick.
Say that one more time.
Your shtick?
Oh, my shtick. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but it's also just different. I think there's just part of it is just you get older, man. I've mellowed out in my old age, Matt.
I feel you.
I don't know
how people date in the 2020s, man. Like just on Instagram and everything, like the social media kind of. Because even obviously we got together like 5 years ago, but like neither one of us is big into like the whole social media, Snapchat, Instagram, and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that makes dating like so much more difficult. Like every girl has so many options. Like it's ridiculous.
That is true. That is true. Our options are limited, especially when you're just like, you and I are not bringing a bunch to the table, Matt. Like we can tell girls about Kansas State football.
You speak for yourself, sir.
No, I think we're on the same page here, Matt. You and I, we're North Georgia alumni. We love sports. We watch the same kind of movies. We're pretty easygoing. We like dogs. I don't know. It's just there.
I'm not muscling anybody over up at the bar or anything. I'm not big timing anybody. You know, showing out at the club or anything.
Showing out. When was the last time you were in a club, Matt?
Oh, who knows? I have no idea, to be honest. Years.
Did you ever attend club opera?
No. I don't even know what that is.
Downtown Atlanta.
Club opera. Atlanta?
Yeah.
No, I've never been there.
Have you been to a club in Atlanta?
I've been to a strip club. But I don't know.
Which one did you go to?
I don't know if I've ever actually been to like a club, like dancing. Like I've been to bars. I don't know if I've been to like a club ever in my life, to be honest. Other than like Panama City, like
Club La Vila.
I don't even know.
Were you a Club La Vila person?
I definitely went there one time.
The phone party?
On Spring Bridge. But That's not my scene.
No. Can you imagine, like,
not to hear each other? I don't know. It's not my scene.
No, that's something I think about too, is like those places like Panama City now, where like I know people who go to Panama City in their older years for vacation, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Why would you go there outside of the 18 to, or even like the 17
to 20? There's so many places that have beach and water. Like, just don't. That's the high school place to go.
Yeah, you don't. That's not. I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand the vacation there. I'll never go back. Like, I'm good never going back to Panama City. Like, it's not on my radar ever again.
Although, if I'm going to look beach vacation and I see the price difference, I'm like, oh, shit. You know, Panama City is looking bad.
I guess. That's true. And they do have Pineapple Willies, and we can't discount Pineapple Willies, Matt.
Beach Club Inn.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you can tell, folks, it is
Corey Smith diehards know about that.
It is the off season, so we will tend to get off topic on these Thursday shows because, you know, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel sometimes when it comes to content, because spring practice is just getting started. The coaching carousel has wrapped up. We're just kind of in a dull period, recruiting kind of quiet right now outside of Sark trying to make some moves. But, yeah, we'll get to the one recruiting nugget coming out of my state of Tennessee, but we'll get to that in a second. Don't forget, folks, you can listen to this show by going to ChaseThomasPodcast.com, where you can access all of my previous episodes. You can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a Patreon by going to Patreon.com/ChaseThomasWriter to support the writing. Matt, there's some news that it just sucks. Like, I don't even really want to talk about this, but I feel like we have to at least talk about it a little bit because it's just bad, and I don't know what's going to happen. We're recording this late on a Thursday. Things could change by the time you folks are listening to this Friday morning, but Les Miles, a report resurfaced about 2013. Just not good. A lot of bad stuff here, if true. Some serious allegations dating back to his time at LSU. I think he has to be removed from Kansas like yesterday. I don't know how you survive this if you're Les Miles. This is just bad and gross and creepy and weird. And I don't know, man. Like, this is all bad, and it's just, I don't know what else to say other than this, if true, is a shame.
Yeah, man. It's pretty crazy. It seems like in the world we live in, it seems like we're hearing about this, you know, every few months is another big time person that's done some shady behavior in their past. But, you know, I don't want to rush to judgment. We haven't heard everything, but so if what we're hearing is true, it's not a good look for Les Miles. And yeah, I don't, in 2021, like, I don't know how you really, you can keep him around as the face of your football program.
It's just weird, man. Like, he's accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and according to this report from USA Today, on at least one occasion, kissing a student. Like, what? He was what? I just, there are so many things here where you're like, what are you thinking? What goes through these people's minds where I'm like, why would you ever think any of this is okay? Like, how did he never think crossing the line here? Yeah, probably shouldn't do this, but it just never registered, allegedly.
Yeah, man, it's a crazy story. I don't have much to add to it.
I don't know, man, that's just weird. On lighter notes, Caden Martin, son of T. Martin, former Tennessee legendary national champion quarterback, also very recent head coach or associate head coach, who moved on to the Baltimore Ravens as their wide receiver coach after a tumultuous end to his coaching tenure at Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt. His son, Caden Martin, committed to the University of Miami to play football and baseball. Four-star quarterback, Caden Martin. So not going to the Vols.
Yeah, it seems like just about everyone who's got the Vols in their final group kind of leaves them hanging these days, recently, well, at least.
Caden's not a surprise. Gonna go ahead and tell you. Like, after what happened with his dad, not at all surprised that Caden did not pick Tennessee to continue his academic career. I will say that.
Seriously, and I imagine he grew up a Tennessee fan. Like, T. Martin is big time around those parts.
He said, quote, "New Tennessee football staff never contacted me." So that's probably not good in terms of the recruiting aspect of Caden Martin, but not going to be a Vol like his father. Matt, any other news items that you want to get to before we talk some Group of Five?
Well, there's the other the big time quarterback. I think that was almost a week ago now. Ty Simpson out of Tennessee, right, who chose Alabama. It's kind of what we were alluding to there. But yeah, that was another big time commit.
Where did the Collins Hill kid end up? He committed this week too.
Yeah, he committed to Missouri.
That's right.
Sam Horn. Rocking number 21. Can we help this guy out? Come on. I see pictures of this guy in high school rocking number 21. Like, get the quarterback, man. Come on. Fix this.
Hold on. Peyton Ramsey made that a legendary football number, quarterback number. I don't know if you saw him at Northwestern this fall. Lighten it up. Up there.
Is he rocking 21?
Yeah. Isn't Peyton Ramsey 21?
I think of Heath Shuler, right? Back in the day for Tennessee. What, he rocked 20?
I'm 99% sure. Okay, so he was 12 at Northwestern, but he's 21 at Indiana. That's what it is.
Okay. And yeah, I guess Flutie was 22. It's just like, I think Stetson Bennett was a 20 number, but like the first time around at Georgia, I think he was like 22 or something like that. And then he came back and he got a respectable quarterback number. But yeah, Sam Horn, fix that. It can't be rocking 20 numbers as a quarterback.
I don't hate it. Did you not like, who was the Michigan quarterback? Devin Gardner, who was 98 one year?
Oh, that was the worst. Oh, that was the worst thing ever. I was so mad every time I saw that. I forgot about that. It was some kind of legend thing. Like, he's rocking like some legendary player, number 98 or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was terrible. Like, that's like the only... You know, I'm a stickler for all these uniforms and everything. Yep. Like, I don't think I'm too big of a stickler with the numbers, but it's like big fat guy rocking single digits. Like, that, I don't like that. You know, if you're gonna be a D lineman rocking single digit, you gotta be a playmaker. And then a quarterback, you can't rock anything. You can't rock 20 and up. Like, that's the only rules I have. Come on now, it's not too difficult.
All right, you get
Jason Witten rocking number one. That's one of the worst numbers too. That was a terrible. It just never fit.
Big Cat Bryant wearing number one was always weird.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. I mean, I'm honestly kind of like, I'm torn on all the duplicate numbers in general. Mm. Like, I love seeing tight players rocking cool numbers. You know what I mean? So it's like that's cool that you got all the good offensive and all the good defensive players rocking two numbers. But it's like you got guys, you know, changing jerseys on the sideline so they can play special teams and a different number. It's like if there's even a possibility that you're going to play special teams or you're going to play offense, like, just rock a different number. Like, it's kind of ridiculous how there's just I think on Georgia's roster, there's a duplicate, like, number 1 to 19 or something. It's kind of insane.
Well, I think part of that, I wonder when we get to the point, because there's going to be a tipping point where these schools and even pro teams have to, like, unretire numbers because so many numbers are gobbled up and they just are way too liberal when it comes to...
Yeah, I think the Bears had an issue with that. Like, they, like, just stopped retiring numbers altogether or something, because it's like all of their 50 numbers were taken by, like, 1980 or something like that.
Yeah, because it's silly. Retiring numbers is one of the silliest things we do in sports, I think. Like, it's a big pet peeve of mine. I would ban it as the sports are. Matt Green, I would
that's
ban
an interesting
retiring
take.
Sports numbers.
Yeah, because it's like we've talked about it, you know, as a Georgia fan, they have like a handful retired, and like David Pollack is one. Mm. It's like if we're retiring numbers, how is David Pollack's number not retired? You know what I mean? But I think the last person they retired was Herschel, so I almost wonder if it's just like, we're not going to retire anybody's number anymore, because – you're right. It is kind of a weird tradition in general. Like, you're so good as number 21, no one should ever wear number 21 again. Like, I don't really understand it. But I've never really thought about it until you just said it.
It's just silly. Like, I, it's silly. Like, statues with living athletes is also very silly. Like, what are we doing there? I think that's really strange. But, I don't know. Let's get rid of retiring numbers. It's silly and not fair to the young kids. Like, why are they, like, not allowed to wear this number just because someone else? Like, what are we doing? It's so arbitrary. It's not.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And it's like, it needs to go through, like, a committee or something, you know? Because, like, I think everyone agree. Like, no one for the Bulls should wear number 23 again, you know? It's like, you just shouldn't do it. But, you know, the Utah Jazz, they're like, well, our 23 is Karl Malone, or obviously he's 32, but I'm saying, like, that was their guy. So, and everyone's like, well, yeah, obviously he was great, but we don't care if anyone else rocks 32 for the Jazz. He's not really that important to, like, everyone else, but, you know, everyone's got their own thing. So I think I'm blaming the Braves for not retiring Andrew Jones' number, man. They gotta get that.
No.
They got to, man. Andrew's a Hall of Famer. They basically retire every Hall of Famer.
He's not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man, he's got to.
He's not.
I could do a whole podcast for Andrew Jones. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's like the greatest defensive center fielder of all time, and he had like 400 home runs. Get out of here. AJ 25, that's my guy. That's like my number one all-time favorite player. That's my childhood right there. You know, basically like from 6 years old to like, 15, like 17 years old, he was on the Braves.
Look, I love Andrew. Big Andrew Jones guy. I'm actually looking at my Chipper Jones authentic away 95 World Series jersey behind me at the moment. But
a little humble brag. I see you.
Yeah, a little humble brag. You know how I am with my shtick. As you pointed out. But we'll see. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I have my doubts that he ever gets 10. Matt Green, are you ready to talk about Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, the editor-in-chief of The Athletic college football section? Very good writer. Read him for years. He has a really good piece on the
friend
top
of the
five.
Pod.
Say it again.
Say friend of the pod.
I don't know if he's a friend of the pod, because he's on the podcast.
I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to say it. You sound cool when you say it.
I mean,
I get him on the pod.
I could. I'm sure I could, but I have not.
Well, if you get him on, you probably wouldn't have any use for me. So,
well,
Stu,
no.
Love you, but he's got more expertise than I do.
Well, see, what we could do is we could partner up where you're on the pod, and we can both ask him questions, and it could be a trio. It could be a tag team effort.
Hey, menage a trois.
Sure. anyway, he has a mailbag that he does every week, and there was a really interesting one that he had come out that you can check out on theathletic.com from the February 24th edition. He wrote about a person who asked him about the TV deals being negotiated in a few years, and if this could lead to another round of conference realignment and getting it to 70. So it would require 5 more members to get into the Power 5 there. And he asked him who are the top 5 schools most likely to make the leap. And his 5 contenders were Cincinnati, Boise, and this is how he ranked them. 1 Cincinnati, 2 Boise, 3 UCF, 4 BYU, 5 San Diego State. I think all these are interesting. I think San Diego State is a pipe dream, although his rationale was fascinating. I didn't realize that the school's academic reputation was right there with Oregon State at number 143 versus 153, and it's actually better than Washington State at 176. But they're a good team. San Diego State's got a really good program, and Utah made the jump not that long ago. It feels like a long time ago, but it was not that long ago that Utah was not a Pac-12 school. Matt, of these 5, do you agree with these rankings?
I think I agree with the rankings. The only thing about Cincinnati is, like, just thinking in terms of kind of logistically, is the Big Ten has 14 teams already. So I feel like if we're going to expand, you know, you're going to add 2 more to the Pac-12, probably 2 more to the Big 12. It's just like then we get every conference at 14 teams kind of thing. And then, you know, maybe if you're getting one more in there, Cincinnati definitely, they feel like a Power 5 school. Like, I know what he means by that. But Boise State seems like the most obvious because Boise State and BYU, honestly, I feel like I kind of think should be one and two, because the Pac-12 kind of seems like they need the most help. You know what I mean? So, you know, they could kind of expand further. And, you know, San Diego State, that was a team that I kind of – that was more under the radar. That was like a good call by him. They could – especially with the academic prestige they have that I also was not aware of. It's like the Pac-12 seems like the league that needs the most help. So that's why I feel like I would kind of put all of them ahead of Cincinnati. Or unless you think Cincinnati, I guess, could join the Big 12. I guess we don't even care about geography anymore.
Well, I mean, West Virginia's in the Big 12.
Yeah, exactly. I guess UCF makes a lot of sense too. I guess would they join the Big 12? Like that would be wild.
So I think Cincinnati makes sense as number one, but I think they're a Big 10 team. Like Luke Fickell's a Big 10 guy. They play like a Big 10 school. They don't play.
They definitely
like a Big 10
are
school.
Big 10, right in Big 10 country for sure. I guess it depends on it.
Well,
they're...
no, here's what you do, Matt. You kick out Nebraska. Nebraska.
I was just saying right before you said that. That's a great call. Nebraska doesn't want to be in the Big Ten anyway.
Yeah. No. Well, they do. They make more money in the Big Ten than they do in the Big 12. That's the reason Nebraska's in the Big Ten. They make a lot more money in the Big Ten.
Fair. That's important.
But they don't feel like a Big Ten school. They never have. They never will. They'll never feel like it makes sense. It will never make sense that Nebraska's in the Big Ten to me. That feels more outlandish to me than Rutgers. Like Rutgers, I'm like...
Except for when they're playing Iowa and Wisconsin. When they're playing Iowa and Wisconsin, I'm like, yeah, Nebraska should be playing Iowa and Wisconsin every year. But everyone else, I'm like, Nebraska and Ohio State? Like, what? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, that's how you do it. Like, you kick some schools out. Like, you don't have to, like, just keep adding to Big Ten. So, I think I kick out West Virginia, the Big 12. Like, I move them to the ACC. West Virginia feels like an ACC school to me. And then...
Yeah, they would fit more in the ACC. But if you're doing another realignment, like, Notre Dame's obviously going to join one of these, right?
No. They're never joining any.
They're never going to join one. I mean, they're basically in the ACC already. And they had a year of being in the ACC now in football. But I don't know. It's interesting. I threw three more in there that I felt like could also be part of the discussion, you know, depending on.
Well, the only way to get Notre Dame in, to speak to that before we get into that, is have a requirement that you can't get into the playoff without being in a conference. Like, if they make that's that true. A rule, then Notre Dame will oblige.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then I think the last three, I feel like that you could consider. I have Memphis, SMU, and Fresno State.
No Houston. See, that's what we're leaving out. Houston's a top 10 basketball program. They're number 6 right now in KenPom. They're 20-3. They already have the history. Like, I think Houston's like the sleeping giant. Houston's a huge city. It's a growing city. Houston football, like, Dana Holgerson left West Virginia for Houston. Like, they have money. They have donors. They have history. Like, Houston, to me, I don't know how they didn't make this list. They didn't make your sleeper list. Like, what are we doing about Houston?
Houston's a good call. I overlooked Houston, but... SMU, I guess I kind of thought of their history more.
Well, think about like Baylor just being
in. They kind of had those traditional rivalries with all those teams at that time in like the 80s and everything when SMU was so good. So, and Fresno State seems exactly like San Diego State to me. Maybe they don't have, I don't know if they have the academic prestige of San Diego State, but they're like on that same level of, you know, they're a group of five, but there's consistently NFL players come from those schools. Like, you see a first round pick from San Diego State or Fresno State, it doesn't really surprise you. Like, they're kind of that same level. But yeah, Cincinnati definitely feels like a Big Ten team though. That's, and you haven't really said anything about BYU. That's your squad.
BYU's tough. Because BYU could sell me on the Pac-12, you could sell me on the Big 12. Like, BYU feels like they could go either way there. I go back and forth on that. Where do you think they fit more?
Well, geographically, the Pac-12 seems like the obvious one. And then you kind of have, they already have like their in-state rival like, in that conference. Like, that definitely seems like the most logical one. Other than the fact of kind of the Pac-12, like, culture, you know, they're kind of those liberal kind of.
Yeah, you know, noted liberal Mormon faith.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know how they would feel about the Mormon school coming in. Okay. So I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of odd because BYU also a school that has prestige. Like, they've won national titles. They've had Heisman Trophy winners. Like, this is a good program. I think Boise, and Stuart Mandel makes a very good point here about Boise, which is The Pac-12 needs juice in the television ratings. You know what people stay up for? Boise. You know what people will stay up for on the East Coast? Boise versus USC every fall. They'll stay up for that. Like, you need... See, Boise is an addition because people know the brand and they'll tune in, and it's a reason for people to watch Pac-12 games late at night. No one wants to watch Oregon State, Arizona State at 11. What they would want to watch is Boise versus Washington at 11.
That there could be some truth to that. I think, first of all, just speaking to the Boise listeners of this pod, I know they get real upset when you call them Boise. Mm-hmm. You know, they're Boise State. They get real upset about that. So, yeah, I've heard go get real upset about that. Correct me, call them Boise State. But I think what the problem with Boise State is it doesn't offer any TV market. And that's what everyone wants. Every time they get expansion, you know, like they get Rutgers and get that New York City TV market. You know, that seems to be like the driving force behind all of these expansions. And with Boise State, it's like, well, you get that Idaho market. I don't know if that's really doing anything for these major conferences, but in terms, and you know, it's going to be a move for just football. Like, and so I think that's, football is by far the biggest college sport, but I think that's another hesitation that maybe some of these, the Big 12 or the Pac-12 has about Boise State. It's, if we're doing this, we're doing this only for football. And I feel like in the Pac-12's perspective, like, they need to do something for football, because that's, the conference is kind of losing a lot of luster every single year. Like, every year they go without a college football playoff team, it's just another year that more and more people forget about the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, they really, really need Oregon to have a big year this year, Oregon or USC. But USC recruiting well again this year was big. But also, like, losing. Like, here's where Pac-12 comes back. Is they stop losing their home state. Like, California has been raided by Clemson and Alabama. Like, the quarterbacks who will be under center for Clemson and Alabama this fall both come from the state of California.
And Georgia.
Yeah. Like, it's bad. And you look at, with Georgia, with JT Daniels.
Best running back on Georgia's team is also from California.
But that's a huge thing. Like, that is a huge, huge problem with the Pac-12 that, like, we have not really gotten into yet, is that, like, they have to do something about it. They have to stop the bleeding of their best players. Like, Malik Murphy, guess what? California on its way to Texas. Like, you have to stop the bleeding there. Like, that's going to be part of it too.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting thought, because I kind of think the expansion kind of hurt a lot of things. I think there was a lot of things that, like, for one, I think it kind of watered down SEC East team schedule, and I think in general it kind of watered down just the SEC, and just kind of how you would have in a 4-year period with the old, before expansion, you would play every single team in the SEC twice. Like, that was an incredible rotation. Now Georgia played Alabama at home, what was that, 2015, and then they play them on the road in 2020, like, and then we play out, go to Tuscaloosa, or then they'll come back in Athens in like 2025 or something like that. It doesn't even feel like you're in the same conference as some team that, if you're not playing them in the conference championship and you're not regularly playing them in the rotation, like, I think I joked a couple years ago that, like, yeah, people tell me Texas A&M is in the same conference as Georgia, but, like, I've yet to see it. They went like 9 years in the conference without playing each other. So I think a lot of expansion kind of hurt a lot of the aspects of, like, the traditional college football rivalries and everything like that. So I wonder if it'd be better to just get another conference instead of just adding a couple of these teams to the power. Like, the American Conference, like we said this year, like, it was a better conference than the Pac-12. Like, and I feel like I don't even know if that's that hot of a take to say that. And so I think if you kind of brought all of these teams into one conference, and then maybe took a couple teams from maybe took one or two teams from the SEC or Big Ten or Big 12, and you kind of created this American Conference, I wonder if that would be the best overall solution, and then tie in automatic bids for conference championships and things like that. Because this having 14, 16 team super conferences, it kind of it kind of throws everything off. You know what it did? Selfishly, the worst part of all the conference expansion was it ruined Big East basketball. Big East basketball was like the best conference tournament ever. Yeah. Like it always started like a day or two before all the other ones because it was so huge. And oh man, they had the bye and the double bye. Like, oh man, that the Big East tournament used to be just the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Are you ready to get into our main event, Matt Green?
Oh yeah, man, let's do it.
So you and I, we spend way too much time thinking about college football, Matt Green. But one of the things that I can speak to for myself is that I think about the quarterback situation. Because if you look at, and this is something that I think is going to be interesting when we get into our season previews in a couple months for different teams and different conferences around the country, is that if you look at who the playoff teams were this year and who just missed out, the Kellen Mons. Okay, so you think about it. Trevor Lawrence, how long was he in school, Matt? How long was he under center for the Clemson Tigers?
Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
You're talking about his whole career?
How long was he at Clemson?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. How long was Mac Jones at Alabama?
He's there, I think, 4 years, but played 3 years, right?
Yeah. How long was Ian Book at Notre Dame?
He's been there for 9 years, mm-hmm. hasn't he?
Basically. Justin Fields, how long?
He and Hunter Renfrow are in the same recruiting class.
Exactly. My point here is Kyle Trask also just missing the playoff, being at Florida for years. Young quarterbacks are not winning. The NFL, it's better to get young. It's better to have the roster set and you just put in a cheap quarterback that's coming straight from college as a superstar and you try and win now. Like you try and win in that window. You do the Seahawks thing with Russell Wilson. And college football, it looks like it's going the opposite way, where the teams with the uncertainty or the youth at QB are the ones who are struggling the most, or like we shouldn't consider, like JJ McCarthy, who we'll get into, might be the savior at Michigan. But it doesn't matter. Like the teams that win are the teams with guys like Oklahoma took a step back this year. Spencer Rattler was pretty solid down the stretch, and he's probably like a top five quarterback down the stretch if you look at his numbers, and he'll be good. He'll be probably a playoff quarterback in the next year or two. However, it's better to have a Jake Browning than it is a Spencer Rattler if you're trying to make a playoff run that one particular year. Like you need
the hold on. So what's the distinction you're making? What is a Jake Browning and what is a Spencer Rattler?
Spencer Rattler, the freshman, versus Jake Browning, the fifth year senior, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, I got you now.
So you want Oklahoma, we're doing that over and over again. Remember, the Jalen Hurts, the Kyler Murrays, the transfers. Like they were staying competitive in the playoff because they were just dominating the portal and getting these guys to come in, step in, and keep the momentum going and keep them as playoff teams. De'Aaron King moving to Miami. He thought he could immediately jump in there and jumpstart that thing. Bo Nix struggling for years now at Auburn. Started as a true freshman, 5-star. Spencer Rattler struggled to start this year. Iowa State had a great year. Guess what? Purdy, been there a while. If you go up and down the list of the teams that are really, really good and that are really contending in college football, you need a guy who's a veteran. Like you need someone who's been in the program for years. You need someone who understands the system. You need someone who has been in a lot of big games. Like this is going to be a reason for optimism for Georgia and JT Daniels now that it's year three for him and year two for him in the system. And you want that continuity. You want guys who've been in the program for a while, and you want guys who just aren't 18, 19 years old, because it's just too hard to get through the big Power Five grind if you don't have the experience. So when you look at these schools that we're pulling from the QB battles to watch for from 247 Sports, great website that you should go subscribe to, the CJ Strouds, who is a 5-star. You got JJ McCarthy, 5-star. You got Ty Thompson at Oregon, who looks like he's gonna be great. I'm not sure if he's a 4 or 5, but he's a number 39 overall prospect. He's the top Ducks quarterback recruit since Marcus Mariota. No small shoes to fill there. Haynes King, 4-star, they like him a lot. LSU, Miles Brennan's been there for a while, but you have the young guys and Max Johnson, and Max Johnson played really well down the stretch last year for LSU. They go with him, that changes their trajectory. Texas, Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. Hudson Card's new. Casey Thompson's been around, really good in the Alamo Bowl. We'll get into all of these, but what I'm saying is if you're a program, if you're a fan of any of these programs, you have to adjust your expectations for the season and what you can actually accomplish, it seems like, just based on what year your quarterback is in their timeline, right?
See, I wonder if it's the complete opposite, that I feel like you've just seen so many transfers have immediate impact that now you kind of you think you're striking gold every time you get a transfer or something like that that comes in, you know? So,
well, those are older. Like, what I'm saying is those are older. They're not 19-year-old transfers. It's not Yeah.
No, and that's true.
Like, Mackenzie Milton making the jump to Florida State is different than, like, who could we throw in here? Jacob Eason transferring to Washington. You see what I'm saying?
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. That, I feel like Jacob Eason seemed like one of the more proven young transfers, but I know the point you're making. I'm thinking more...
He wasn't just a graduate transfer. He was someone.
No, yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, and this, you're gonna see so many teams that the fate is just hanging in the balance of hopefully the guy that comes in and wins this job is good enough to take us where we want to go. And you know, Joe Burrow year one was a solid quarterback, and then year two, you know, he turned into maybe the greatest quarterback we've ever seen in college football.
Right.
So. You know, it's just you got to wonder what the expectations are. You know, I think Jalen Hurts was basically a game manager. Obviously, he made a lot of plays with his legs in his first couple of years at Alabama. But he goes to Oklahoma, and you know, I don't think anyone expected him to really have the passing numbers that he had while he was there. So, yeah, I think this is a crazy time we're living in. Basically, it's just the wild west of quarterback battles.
Absolutely. CJ Stroud, Jack Miller, Kyle McCord, Ohio State will have these three going at it. Kyle McCord and CJ Stroud obviously being the 2 5 stars that will be going at it. CJ Stroud usurped Jack Miller as the backup last year. All the makings of a superstar. Kyle McCord, same thing. What are you interested in most about this battle?
Well, I feel like we're just used to Ohio State having like a dual threat quarterback, right? Like Dwayne Haskins, like that's probably the one like real pocket passer they've had in probably like a decade, right? Like going back to Braxton Miller, like it seemed like the whole time Urban Meyer was there, CJ Stroud kind of fits that template. And, you know, he's obviously been there, so I feel like he should have a leg up on Kyle McCord, but, you know, Kyle McCord, the 24/7 sports player comparisons aren't everything. I kind of wonder exactly how they judge him sometimes, if it's like this is his upside or this is just kind of who he plays like. But his Kyle McCord's player comparison is Matthew Stafford. And you know I'm a big Stafford guy. That's my guy. But I think that probably just means this guy has a rocket arm and, you know, maybe – moderate mobility. So if this guy, you know, can make all the throws, you know, he could definitely challenge CJ Stroud, but I would imagine Stroud's got to have the leg up going into the spring.
I think so too, but I do think it's gonna be interesting to see what McCord can do, because they're the same kind of quarterbacks, and I think Ryan Day is gonna look at this year as a transitional year because they're losing a lot of talent, and you know, I think they are going to expect some growing pains, and they're not competing for a national title this year. I think they're competing for a national title next year. So we shall see on that front. Ty Thompson and Anthony Brown is going to be very interesting. I don't think we need to throw Butterfield or Ashford in here. They're long shots, and they're just like depth pieces. But Thompson was handpicked by Joe Moorhead, former Mississippi State head coach, who is now the OC at Oregon. Anthony Brown, the transfer from Boston College. Ty Thompson has all the makings of a superstar, but it should be interesting to see if Oregon and Mario Cristobal hands the keys over to this young kid in 2021. He will be a true freshman, or he sticks with the veteran and Anthony Brown. What do you think?
Yeah, this is another one of those situations. Is you gotta feel like Anthony Brown's got the inside track, just because he's been there, been in college how many years, you know. He's 4 years, 5 years. So I would think he's got to have the inside track. But, you know, Ty Thompson, I think we're in an era where so many guys are leaving. I feel like if you're not necessarily in a national championship or bust year kind of thing, you're almost better off doing like what Oklahoma did. Like you said, obviously Oklahoma had national championship expectations coming to the year, but just giving the freshman the job and just letting him take his lumps. And by the end of the year, maybe going into next year, you're ready to make a run at it again. And that might be the best, you know, the best strategy, and just get Ty Thompson in there. Not saying you just play him if he's not the better player, but I'm really curious to see, you know, because this guy is a super highly touted prospect. So I really wonder who's going to win this job.
Yeah, I'm excited because I think Oregon's close, and Anthony Brown probably has a higher ceiling in just 2021. But if you want to get Ty Thompson some reps, but you have to kind of sacrifice the season. Like Anthony Brown could maybe get in the playoff. Ty Thompson means he's going to have some bad true freshman games and lose a clunker to like Utah or something, and you're not going to be in the playoff again. So it will be interesting to see if they go with the youth movement there. Speaking of the youth movement, Texas A&M will be replacing their lead signal caller and I think all-time wins leader, Kellen Mond, finally, who feels like he's been in College Station forever. Haynes King.
Before you get to this, did you see Chris Sims?
Yes.
NFL draft QB list.
Hey, I'm a Chris Sims guy. His podcast is great, and that dude does not care. He just sticks with his gut, man. I like Chris Sims.
But you saw the list, right?
Yes,
I did. He ranked Kellen Mond ahead of Justin Fields.
Hey, man.
That's a hot take. Maybe I think he just wants us to be talking about him right now. I don't know if he really believes that, but whatever he's doing at work, because we're talking about him right now.
I don't hate it. Like he's doing what he believes. Like he's a Mac Jones guy, and he was pretty low on Tua last year, I seem to recall. Like he was not a Tua guy at all.
And that's interesting.
He thinks that Mac Jones is better than Tua. So I don't know. I think it's fascinating. And you know, it never works out like this. Like who had Josh Allen ended up being where he is, and then Lamar Jackson was like the year before, and it's so hard, man. Like Josh Rosen was like the best prospect since like Andrew Luck, and we see this all, like it's just hard.
It is. Patrick Mahomes is the third one drafted, right?
Yes.
He's maybe the greatest quarterback ever. Who knows what he's going to become?
Right, like Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson were both taken in front of him. So
to be fair, the Mitch Trubisky thing was so like, I feel like that was not even a hindsight move. That was like at the time you're like, what? Why you're going to quarterback? Why aren't you taking Deshaun Watson? Like I feel like everyone thought Deshaun Watson should be the first quarterback taken.
It's fair. That's fair.
But who knows?
Haynes King, though, I talked to Texas A&M beat writer about this on Tuesday. It looks like it's going to be Haynes King. They didn't get involved in the transfer portal. They didn't go up to the McKenzie Millens, the Allen Bowmans. They're going to stay in state here. King's a dual threat guy. He was a Texas high school football legend. I don't know. They lost a bunch of pieces on the offensive line. They return a lot on the secondary. They returned some Isaiah Spiller, who had a breakout year at running back for them. Texas A&M's got a very favorable schedule, and there are expectations that just missing out on the playoff last year that Texas A&M should be right there. They get Bama and Auburn at home, but this kid, he's walking into a very, very difficult win now situation, I think, in College Station.
Yeah, without a doubt, it kind of feels like the Peyton Manning to T. Martin almost like. Just the legendary player. Obviously, I'm not saying Kellen Mond's as good as Peyton Manning, but
I think they're 1A, 1B in college.
But it's like he's the 4-year guy that got him there, that got kind of them into the conversation of national title contention and everything. But Haynes King, I wonder, you know, he's a dual threat guy, and Texas A&M, you know, they have all the pieces, and like you said, a favorable schedule. So the expectations are not getting lower in College Station, that's for sure, especially with Alabama losing everything they lost. Like obviously, you know, no Texas A&M fan is going to tell you that they're better than Alabama, but at some point, you know, you gave Jimbo all that money, you want to see them take that next step. And so I wonder if Haynes King is the guy that can get them there. But you think he's definitely the guy, though? You don't see Zach Calzada?
No, based on what the guy who's a lot more plugged in than myself suggested, it seems like it's Haynes' job to lose, barring injury. That he's the guy.
Zach Calzada, a linear high school guy.
Was he?
Yeah, Buford guy. Sugar Hill in the house.
Interesting. See, this is what we need on this podcast. No, who else would know that off the top of their head?
Gotta rep Wright County whenever I can.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, as a Parview guy, I'm looking at my Camden County helmet here as we speak, right next to me as we're recording. Shout out to high school football in the state of Georgia, the great state of Georgia.
I get the GHSA back on the pod.
Wait, we will. Back in the fall. we will have it back. Miles Brennan, Max Johnson, TJ Finley. LSU had a really weird season, very up and down, all kinds of staff changes under Ed Orgeron. Dude, this is another situation where it's like the stakes could not be higher. Like, Orgeron's gone if this bombs this year, right? Like, this is it. Like, his seat could not get hotter. Like, that's why you make these humongous changes and bring in all of Joe Brady's assistants from Carolina. They swung big on defensive coordinator hires, and they kind of settled, so I'm kind of concerned about what they're going to do there. But offensively, Miles Brennan was good. They were averaging 38.7 points per game when Brennan was under center before he got injured with his abdomen. But Max Johnson, son of, I believe, Brad Johnson, Super Bowl quarterback, and also his mom, Mark Rick's sister, I seem to recall.
Up there. Yeah, I think he's Oconee County, right?
Yes.
Max Johnson?
Lefty, southpaw. Very, very much in on him. He looked really, really good. He also was the quarterback who upset Florida and ended Florida's national championship hopes.
See, that's what makes it interesting to me, is because this is the most interesting battle in my eyes, because all of these guys kind of have something that kind of puts them in the conversation. Like, none of them have any more experience really on one another. Like, Miles Brennan was, you know, I guess from namesake, like, supposed to be the guy coming in last year, so maybe you kind of just and he did, he threw it all around in the few games he did play, so he kind of feels like the favorite. But Max Johnson kind of feels like the intangible favorite. Like, he closed the season out, the bowl game and the win to Florida against Florida kind of, you know, got the energy back into LSU football and everything, so it kind of feels like he's got a shot to win the job. And then TJ Finley looked even good for a game or two, and then looked really bad for a game or two. So this is the most intriguing battle in my eyes. And especially because if LSU, you know, if one of these guys is good, like, they could be in the SEC championship for all we know. Like, LSU, they could be right back there. So, and like you said, Ed Orgeron's fate at LSU is basically hanging in the balance of getting this decision right.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated to see how this works and they get a full spring to get to go at it. I have no idea which way this will go.
But who's your prediction?
I'm gonna predict Miles Brennan.
I would also say Miles Brennan.
But he's gonna have a tight leash, would be my guess. Alan Bowman versus JJ McCarthy versus Cade McNamara at a revitalized Michigan, who really have turned a lot of pieces over on both sides of the ball. McCarthy is the heir apparent, but Michigan had a really bad year this past year. Going with the true freshman savior right away seems like a bad proposition and potentially hurting their confidence if things start awry. Cade McNamara got some time last year, but he's clearly not the guy. He's just more of a placeholder. Bowman, if he can stay healthy, is an intriguing piece, but he's played like 6 games in 2 years, so I don't know about that. Okay, he's played 11 in 2 years, so averaging basically 6 games a year. I don't know, man. That Bowman transfer came out of nowhere. Texas Tech quarterback of the last several years. Very good when he's healthy, but health has just been a problem, and he's kind of a weird fit for the RPO style that they run because he's a big dude. So I don't know how that will work with Josh Gattis's offense and scheme, but what intrigues you about the Michigan quarterback situation?
I feel like it's gotta be JJ McCarthy, right? Like,
see, I don't think so. I would be shocked if he wins this job.
Really? I just feel like Cade McNamara is, honestly, this feels like, I try not to bring everything back to Georgia football, but it feels like Grayson Lambert and Jacob Eason. Like, yeah, maybe the freshman isn't ready, but we know this other guy isn't the guy. Like, I was not impressed at all with Cade McNamara last year. And, you know, it's just it's the guy who's got the higher ceiling. And Michigan, like, what are the expectations for Michigan in 2021? Like, if you start a true freshman quarterback, go 8-4, like, what's anyone going to say? Like, are they going to fire Jim Harbaugh for that? Like, I don't really think so. Like, I think that if they go 8-4 with a true freshman quarterback, they're probably kind of excited for 2022. I don't see anything out of coming from Cade McNamara. You think Alan Bowman can give him something?
Yeah, I think they'll just go with the veteran out of the gate. And if someone gets hurt, because Bowman's going to get hurt. I'm not wishing for it, but it seems like that's just part of the deal with Alan Bowman. I'm going to guess Bowman wins the job in the spring because I just think if he's healthy, will be the most farthest along. But I don't know. I'm going to go with Bowman, but Cade McNamara will go in second. I really think they're going to protect McCarthy. Like, that dude is the highest recruit they've had since Jim Harbaugh landed Andrew Luck back at Stanford. Like, I think they're going to be extremely cautious with him.
Bowman definitely feels like the guy who's going to start game one. I wouldn't be surprised if J.J. McCarthy is the starter second half of the season.
Okay. Kind of reminds me of Mac Jones and Bryce Young. Casey Thompson, Hudson Card, last one here, and we'll wrap up. He played really well down the stretch.
You want to get into your Vols, man?
No interest. We're skipping the Vols.
Fair enough.
You know what we could do? We could break this up, because I think this is like, this might be a two-parter. Let's break this up. Let's do this last one, and then we can do Utah, Stanford, Florida State, Tennessee, and South Carolina, and Northwestern next. How about that? Let's split them up.
Yeah, because there's some good ones. I had a few things to say about some of those.
Okay,
so, yeah,
we'll split it up. We'll split it up. So this is the last one we'll do this week. Texas, Casey Thompson, and Hudson Card. These names are amazing, Hudson Card and just these quarterback names. But Card was a former top 60 recruit. He has the higher ceiling. I don't know. Casey Thompson seems like the guy, but this one I'm going to go with the young guy. I'm going to say Casey Thompson's a depth piece, and Hudson Card beats him out in spring for Sark's new program.
Hudson Card's the guy, man. No doubt in my mind. I feel like he feels like the next Texas quarterback. Like, they get another dual threat dude in there. Guy lives and bleeds Texas. Like, I feel like Sam Ehlinger 2.0, just get him in there.
Yeah, no, I think Card.
I think he's got like 40 pounds or something on Hudson Card. I don't think he's built like Sam Ehlinger.
No. I mean, Casey Thompson's also low-key jacked too. I don't know if you saw him in that game, but he's pretty built. That dude is pretty jacked. Have you seen The Gun Show from Casey Thompson?
I'm not sure I'm aware of The Gun Show.
All right, Google image Casey Thompson and just look at the guns. That dude is jacked.
Do I need to turn my safe search on?
No.
He's got pretty big arms. I mean, he's a D1 athlete. He's a big guy.
I don't know. Pretty jacked to me, more so than you would think, for a quarterback at least.
This one picture, I see what you're saying. He's a big guy.
All right, well, that's all I've got for this episode, Matt Green. We did our hour, the power hour, if you will. Is there anything you would like to plug before we wrap up here?
Not much, man. Just thought it was an excellent hour. Can't wait to get back to it next week.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for the time, my friend. For that guy down there in Decatur, Georgia, for myself up here in Knoxville, Tennessee, that is all I've got. More episodes tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, every day. We do.
Stay grinding, man.
Stay grinding on the Chase Thomas Podcast. Specifically, the full ride on the Chase Thomas Podcast. So, back next Thursday, as we will the entirety of this offseason. Talk to you guys soon.
I Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.